travel every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man, proud that is a bear, man, I breathe the mountain air, man, travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texarkana, Monterey, Ferris, Santa Fe, Tallahassee, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oscaloosa, Tennessee, Tennessee.
Yeah, baby, I've been everywhere. Welcome back. This is Ray I from the Midwest Outdoor Studios. Matty G, having a wonderful Saturday morning. As a seminar speaker for 40 years and 10 years on the road with the NRA Great American Hunters Tour and working all the major sports shows, St. Louis, Kansas City, Minnesota, Nashville, Pittsburgh, goes on and on and on. I even gave a turkey seminar in Alaska, and they don't even have turkeys. Seminars in Mexico, Canada, seminar in Hawaii. I've been everywhere, baby. So I've got a special story time for you this week. We're going to jump right into it about my seminars. Here we go. Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is on the road again. Seminars, clinics, and life on the road.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've been doing this a long time. A lot of traveling, a lot of shows, and a lot of work. And I get asked many times about seminars and public speaking and doing banquets and fundraisers and the things that we do as professionals out here in the outdoor industry. Well, I have to tell you, it was a humble beginnings as a seminar speaker because I was not a seminar speaker. I entered some turkey calling contests, won a few contests, and then built some calls. And then one of the local stores said, hey, why don't you bring some of those calls down here to the store? And I did that. And then he called me up and said, hey, can you come down here and tell people how to use these? And that's how it started. That was my first in-store promotion, so to speak, but it was kind of a seminar. And in the late 70s, I ended up at the Walmart stores. Walmart was fairly new, and Walmart picked up my call line, Ozark Mountain Calls, and I had to go to the Walmart stores and demonstrate turkey calls, and they decided, you know, you got so many people coming in here, let's just do a seminar. I didn't even know what a seminar was. We did that, and then a gentleman come up and gave me his card and said he was from the college and wanted to know if I could do a seminar for the college because the guy they had scheduled couldn't make it. And I said, sure, I never did that before. I once saw my good buddy Ralphie Duren. I said, what do I do for a seminar? So he put me together a slideshow. He said, do it like this. Gave me an outline. And I used some slides. They threw me out on stage with 350 people, and I was, holy cow. Got up there, and I started doing the slides. I really stunk. I started talking, and then next thing I know, I told a story, and everybody laughed and never looked back. I ended up doing continuing education classes for these colleges all over the state of Missouri where they could get credits for it. We actually donate money from those shows to give needy kids scholarships to the school, so it was a good thing. Building calls and manufacturing calls and selling calls around the country, we'd go to the sporting goods stores and give a program. How things have changed over the years. Back in the day, when you went into Paducah, Kentucky to give a seminar, the local news crew was there and show up with their truck and their cameras. And I had the same thing actually in St. Louis. I was on all the radio shows, and the Channel 4, Channel 2 news would come out when you did a turkey hunting seminar. I was on radio with Smash in the morning back then on Casey, and he'd go, boys and girls, he'd say, this isn't a bunch of hilljacks getting together. This is a seminar. But there was so much promotion and stuff on these things back in the day. How it started for me was in Missouri. Barnstorming is basically what it was. Go to different little small towns. I slept at school gymnasiums, slept on the side of the road. I did seminars and school gyms, churches, archery shop basements, sporting goods stores, barns, out in fields, you name it, we did it. And drive around and hope to get a little bit of money to get something to eat. Back in those days, though, I'd take a trunk load of product to sell turkey calls, and you could actually go to a gas station in rural Missouri and trade turkey calls for a tank of gas. Try to do that today. We even did outdoor seminars at archery ranges and bow hunters who care out of St. Louis, Missouri years ago. How it progressed, it started with just speaking in front of a crowd. And then when you got slides and you did an actual presentation, if you were 100 miles from the house with a box of slides, you were an expert. One year at the St. Louis Boat and Sports Show, like late 70s, early 80s, I was the opening act, and the second act was Bill Dance. Bill was the headliner. Went to Kirksville, Missouri in the early 1980s, and I was traveling with Ralph Duren, and we got up for the seminar. But before we did the seminar, we did a little skit where I was the gobbler and he was the hen to entertain the audience, and I got up on this chair to strut and gobble and act like a turkey flying down, and the chair exploded. I fell down on my rear end on the middle of the stage. I came up strutting, got a big applause from the audience. About 8 years later, I was rescheduled to come back to Kirksville to the same building, the Shriners Club. And the local newspaper, when I got in town, I was on the front page. It said, the chair wrecker returns. What really changed for me is when we got into video projection about 1987, 88 was some of the first. And 89, I brought it out. It was a VHS tape, but it was a big giant machine, big giant video projector. But that kind of changed everything, and then we progressed with that. A lot of funny stories, a lot of things happened on the road. We went from the Missouri Midwest, then got into Illinois and Iowa, went into Arkansas, went into Kansas, and expanded from there. And then with the turkey calling contest around the country, Hershey, Pennsylvania, Mobile, Alabama, traveling with the contest, I ended up speaking or emceeing and doing programs at those, Midwest Open, Southwest Open. So that expanded the seminars, got into the late 80s and traveled with Hunter Specialties all over the country. I was doing 230 to 250 seminars per year. I was doing two on Friday, three on Saturday, and three on Sunday. Take Monday off and start over on Tuesday. From town to town and place to place. One year that I really remember, I never want to do again, we went to New York, Pennsylvania, all across the East Coast, then down into Florida. We did Northern Florida. We did Southern Florida. Went to Miami. Actually did a seminar in Miami. And then we left and went out to the state of Washington and Oregon. And I went all the way down the coast, all the way to Sacramento, California, doing shows. And then all the way back, Colorado, New Mexico, Kansas. With the NRA Great American Hunters Tour, we do a 20-city tour. Stay on the road in vehicles and trucks. We didn't fly. It'd take us months, and we'd do 20 cities with multiple seminars. It was nothing for me to do 200 seminars per year, and that doesn't count the in-store promotions and standing in the store all day before I did a seminar that evening. It was really interesting, too, because like when I went out to Oregon and Washington, the turkey hunting was new out there, and back here, we were, you know, a turkey hunter and a speaker, but out there when I showed up, I was like a superstar. They treated me just like if I was a rock star or a country music star when I went into these big auditoriums. They had my own dressing room. They had people go with me every place. They asked me what I wanted in my dressing room to eat. And then they even put an earpiece in my ear. A guy in the control room would talk to me when I was on the stage doing the show. It was big time. Spotlights, music. And that's when I really started changing my show into the video projection, and that's when it really got fun. I have more fun with the video projection stuff than anything I've ever done. I traveled with Tom Stuckey with Hunter Specialties in the mid to late 80s, and we did a lot of shows together. You haven't lived, you've been on a road trip with Tommy Stuckey. We're in Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia, and our good friend from Tree Bark was there, Jim Crumley, and they had this place packed. This was a doings. They had all kinds of booths set up in the back, and car dealers, and ATV dealers, and feeder companies, and everything was there, and lots of metal chairs. It was the auditorium. It was the place where they played basketball. It was a big sports complex auditorium type thing. So Tom was to go on before me. So they had this thing all set up, and one of the local disc jockeys got up and talked a little bit, and I noticed that the crowd had no reaction whatsoever. So it was time for Tom. So Tom goes up, and he gobbles. Gobbles like a turkey. He says, "How y'all doing?" He gets up, he's walk across the stage, hits him with one of his best stories. Nothing. So he starts gobbling and talking about turkey hunting. And nothing. So he goes, "Boy, do we got a treat for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ray I." So he introduces me and walks off the stage, and I walk back to him. He goes, "Good luck." One of the seminar runs down in Kentucky, and they used to have it at a sporting goods store. It was also a sporting goods mail order place. And this particular year, they had moved it to a college. Somehow it managed, just by fate, to get the theater, the fine arts theater at the college. And when I arrived down there early with my guy, we went in there and they had a piece of plywood on the chairs and an old slide projector and a small home screen somebody brought from the church up on the stage. We got to looking around and talking to them, and I said, "Well, you know, this is a theater. Can we use the audiovisual?" Well, they didn't know, so they checked, and the guy said, "Sure." Well, my guy's an audiovisual guy. He talked to their guy for about a minute, and he turned him loose up in the deal. He goes up there and lowers down like a 25 by 20 foot glass bead screen, and it's got full stereo. I mean, this show, the latest video projector. People ain't never seen nothing like this. So we're going to do my show. Well, that evening, we get ready for the show. I've got several boxes of hats and T-shirts and stuff to throw to the audience. We're really going to rock this place, right? Let me tell you, this was a doings. And the guy told me they come from miles around, wait all year for this thing. It was a fire marshal's nightmare. There was people in lawn chairs in the aisles. People were barefooted. They had Piggly Wiggly grocery bags full of popcorn they popped at home. And a couple guys went before me, and they pretty much did the same routine. One guy, the guy right before me, walked out on the stage and he said, "This here's a box cow. Yawk, yawk, yawk. This is how I use it. Are there any questions?" Well, we got ready to do our show. We took a little break, and the guy says, "For our next speaker is going to be Ray Ayers." My guy started bringing the lights down, put a spotlight kind of on the stage, and then he started playing spring peepers and crickets and birds. And people were literally looking around the floor trying to see where the sounds were coming from. Then the lights go dim and the screen comes up and the sun starts rising with turkeys gobbling and flying down. And the turkeys are running and gobbling and strutting. And I mean, it was awesome. The sound was incredible. All the wildlife sounds, outdoor sounds. This thing is building to a crescendo. It's just going like crazy. Then we shoot a bunch of turkeys. And then Bad to the Bone comes up and the lights come up. The spotlight comes on. The screen goes down. You're still hearing wood sounds. I come out to Bad to the Bone throwing hats. And I run out on the stage, and how's everybody doing? I threw the hat, and it hit this guy with his arms crossed and just fell on the floor, and he just stared at me. Nobody caught a hat. Nobody clapped. Nobody cheered. Down in flames. The only sound was the laughter from the audio booth of my guy. So I went ahead and threw the rest of hats real quick, and nothing seemed to be working. They just sat there. They didn't even pick up the hats when they fell on the floor. So the guy running it had come out on the stage by the podium, and I went up and grabbed the microphone and go, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with the show. I had to do something. I had to regroup. So I go to the guy, and I said, what's going on? What's going on here? He said, well, these folks waited all year for this event. When that screen came down and all that sound and stuff came up, they thought they was going to get a treat of a really cool movie, and then some crazy man comes running out on the stage, shuts the movie off, starts throwing stuff at him.
And that's story time this week with your Uncle
Ray. Weekend, with us at our campfire. Say bye, Vogelbacher.
Bye, Vogelbacher.
Say goodbye, Matty G.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us for Eyes on the Outdoors National Radio Show. Share the outdoors with others and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt.